6 weeks into our series called Taking the Land Together. And we're looking at the book of Joshua. We're looking at what God is saying to us, being together, being relational, community, the power of the Holy Spirit. Where is God taking us? That we're going to take the land, but we're actually doing that together. Last week, I had the privilege of just speaking a little bit of when walls become gateways to promises. We looked at the story of the walls of Jericho coming down, and we're going to talk a little bit more about even what we did as a church last week of bringing our walls before him. But three things that came out is that it's not always easy to do what is necessary. That there is power. Everybody say power. You have power in your worship, and doing the impossible is what God does, and that's who we serve. So today we're talking about the devoted things, and we're gonna really dig into this. We're kind of coming right out of chapter 6, going right into 7, and then just right into the beginning of chapter 8. And what's happened is that they have just finished defeating Jericho. And in verse 627, here we are, it says this: "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land." And then in verse 1, it says, "But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, and the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them." And the "some of them" is the, before I even go, anger burned against Israel. Before I even go another second into this message, I want to tell you guys something. Holy Spirit was stirring me all week, and I'm going to tell you what part of it was because this is a heavy story. If you've ever read the story of Achan, go and just read it for yourself in chapter 7 and in verse 8, chapter 8. It's a tough one. It's a tough one as a pastor to come and approach the church, but I really do believe that the Lord has a word for each and every one of us today. So what has happened is, they have just defeated Jericho. They're moving on to the next city, and the city is named Ai. And so Joshua sends out two spies, and the two spies go, and they do some reconnaissance, and they come back to him, and they tell him, they're like, "Look, this is an easy one. There's nothing to it. There's nothing to worry about." And in fact, in Hebrew, Ai actually means a heap, or it means a dump. It was just a dump of a city. And so they said, "Don't even send the whole army." So Joshua grabs 3,000 of his men, sends them out to go take Ai. Well, when they get to Ai, well, Ai is waiting on them, and they give them a good tail kicking. I mean, they beat them down. They chase them into the wilderness, kind of trap them in a quarry, and kill 36 of the Israeli army. And so now here's what happens in Joshua 7:5. It says, "And at this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water." Let's remember, what have the Israelites seen in the past 40-something years? Well, they were delivered out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They had fire by night and a cloud by day. They had manna. They had quail. They had water from a rock. Now they have the tabernacle. God has asked them to build an Ark of the Covenant to where his presence could always be with them. They were given the Ten Commandments and the law. Now they're in the land of Canaan. They crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. 2 million on the best of the best of the land. 1 million cross over on dry ground. They have feasted on the best of the best of the land. The men are all circumcised. They're all in line with God again. They've just participated in the greatest act of community and worship, all 2 million. Everybody say 2 million. They just had defeated the great city of Jericho, and they've kept their covenant with Rahab. All the amazing experiences, all of the unexplainable, all of the miracles that they have witnessed, and in an instant, Israel is sounding just like the people that they just conquered in Jericho. Look at it again, Joshua 7:5. "At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water." This is what we read just last week in Joshua 2:8. "A great fear of you has fallen on us." Rahab's talking to the two spies. "So that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you." After everything God has done, their hearts are quickly riddled with fear. And Joshua has now torn his clothes. He's now fallen face forward down before the ark of the Lord. And this is what's coming out of the heart of Joshua. If you go back and read this later, this is what you'll hear. He's saying, "Why did you let us be destroyed? What can I say now? How can I defend God? What excuse can I make? Our enemies will kill us. And then this one right here, what will become of your name, God? Joshua 7, 10, and 11, it says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, he should have said, shut up. He said, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, and they have put them with their own possessions. So what is God exactly referring to when he's talking about speaking of the devoted things? Well, let's think about this. Everything in the city of Jericho, were to destroy everything. Everything. And then to burn the city. But the things that they could keep was the silver, the gold, the bronze, and the iron. And that was not to be kept for themselves, but it was to be given to the Lord, to put into the treasury of the Lord. And the things, these treasures, were to be devoted to God. So when you hear in the scripture, when we're talking about the devoted things regarding the Israelites, it was that. It was the treasury that came out of the city of Jericho. So in Joshua 7:12, he says this, that is why Israel cannot stand against their enemies. What about in 2021? When we have to apply a message like this to our lives, then we have to look at what are the things that we should be devoting to the Lord. Is everybody with me? So let's look. How about, here's just a few. How about our hearts? How about our worship? Our tithe? Our marriages and even relationships that we're in? Parents, our children, amen, that we would give them and devote them to God. How about our bodies? Where in Psalms 150, verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. That's what we're doing with our bodies, with our lives, that we're praising him. And how about even that we would give and devote our days to him? You know, last week when we were talking about the walls, and we're going to talk more about it when you guys came down and brought these down, and I loved that. When we find ourselves where we feel like we're not gaining ground, we're not feeling victories coming into our lives, we're experiencing things, but it's not the things that we really believe that God is wanting to push us. I want to give you just a little idea of maybe what is going on in our lives is the same thing that was going on with Achan and the people of Israel. I had a young couple that had just been married about a year. I was pastoring at 3-in-1 Church out in Suffolk, and the husband had come to me, and he was just telling me, we're struggling, you know, we're not communicating, you know, this and whatever. And I told him, I said, well, man, we're going to be praying with you. Maybe next time we can meet with you and your wife and we can talk this out. Well, we had a men's group that they're watching and all this. And another table, and I hear them kind of getting talking about shows that they're watching and all this. And this young man that I just talked to last week, he goes, oh man, guys, you know, do you guys like the Game of Thrones? Because I've got the whole series and we've got it in our house and we watch it, and, you know, my wife and I, and we just love that show. And I just remember in my head going, the Holy Spirit was like, not now. Because I wanted to, he goes, not now. We're not going to address this right here, right now. I will give you a chance to address this with him. And so, guys, check this out. About a month later, they both come to me. And they said, we need to talk. And it was right before service, and we were in the theater, so I took them into another theater. I said, let me hear it. And so they just said, you know, she won't talk to me. I'm not talking to her. Our marriage is falling apart. We don't have any money. We're struggling with our tithe. And, you know, they're just giving it to me. And I stopped him. I said, buddy, listen. I go, I heard you about a month ago telling me that, or telling your friends that you have the Game of Thrones and that you love it, that you and your wife are watching it. I'm going to tell you. And I told him, I said, buddy, you have brought sin into your camp. I said, what you have done is you have brought soft porn into your house, and you're justifying it because you both like it and because the world really likes that series. But what you have done is you have brought sin into your home. And so we just got real about this, and I challenged them. So sure enough, they go, they get rid of it, they throw it away. Guys, at this point now, I won't tell you who they are, but if you go and see, they are thriving for God right now. God has restored their marriage. They restored their families. They were having trouble with their in-laws. Everything has been restored, and God is moving through their lives. And what we have to do sometimes is wake up, and we have to go, what have I allowed in my house? What am I allowing in my heart? and let me expose this. Let me get it out. If I buried it, let's dig it up and expose it to the light of Christ and let the Holy Spirit begin that work, amen? That work of renewing us. God is saying to Joshua, this isn't a God issue. This is a heart issue. That's what he's saying there. So today we really need to look at ourselves, at our lives as a community of believers, and let God expose and speak to anything that might be pulling us away from our devotion to God and to the things of God, the devoted things. So this brings me to my first thought, and it's this right here. Every choice, every action matters to God. Every choice, every action that you make matters to God. One of the greatest lessons we pull from the story of Achan and the battle of Ai is this, that the choice of one can affect the lives of many. Okay? So, guys, I played football from age 7 to 16. So, basically up to my junior year, you know, I played football. My dad coached me for many of the years. So it was a great experience. And when we got into junior high, we didn't have middle school back then. It was just junior high, 7th through 9th. And anyway, so we had about 80 to 90 guys that wanted to play football in 7th grade. So the coach didn't cut any of them. In fact, they just decided that just to add to the schedule, to the league play, that they would break us up into four teams, and we would play against each other, plus all of the other junior highs that we would play against. Well, before that happened, before they had the draft, well, that's when they're doing Hell Week, and they're getting us in shape. They're doing drills and things. They're just seeing what we can do, and then they were going to go and do this. Well, the first day, as they're handing out the pads, they're giving us our pants, you know, our pads and shoulder pads, practice jerseys and helmets and mouthpieces and giving us all. The last instruction they told us is said, do not lose your equipment because if you do, you will pay as a team. That's what they told us, you know. And so we were like, okay, yes, sir. You know, well, anyway, we were in about a weekend and whatever. And one day, one of our buddies comes out and he doesn't have his helmet. Guys, listen, it wasn't a thigh pad that was missing or that he didn't have his mouthpiece. He lost his helmet. Like, you know, and so he comes out and the coach goes, you got 10 minutes, buddy. Go back in the locker room. 80 to 90 kids, you know, we'll all be punished. And we're all sitting there like, you know, like, and you're, remember, 80 to 90 kids, you know, we're out there. He goes in, comes out 10 minutes later walking like this, and we know he doesn't have his helmet. They line us up into two lines, 40 apiece. And guys, we see two of the coaches coming out with two paddles. Guys, how many of y'all were raised in the paddle generation? You know, guys, that was like a rite of honor. You know, you just wanted, you almost wanted to be paddled if you hadn't been paddled, just so you could say you had been. It was like a badge of honor. But we weren't looking forward to this because this is our coaches, and they're all big and they're strong, and we knew this was going to hurt. He yells down the line, take out your tail pad. Some inserted and some had snaps. Y'all remember the snaps? And we'd snap them out. And we had to show them when we walked up, kind of like we had to have our COVID card. Hey, come on. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Come on. So we're walking up with our tail pad. We show them, yeah, and we bend over. And we get two swats. And, I mean, they were good ones. We were stinging. So we went on in practice. And, guys, guess what? That guy didn't have his helmet, had to practice with us. And we were giving it to him. The entire team. He was getting hit harder. He was getting pushed on laps, getting knocked down on the ground. And when the thing ended, the coaches pulled us all in and said, good practice, guys. Now listen, he goes, you better find that helmet because we're going to do this every day until it's found. So guys, when he blew the whistle and dismissed us, we ran into that locker room, all of us. And we're just tearing that place up trying to find his helmet. Sure enough, somebody laid down on the ground and his helmet had rolled off the back of his locker and it was behind the locker in between the wall. His mistake, guys, catch what I'm trying to say here, cost us all right? So I promise you, Achan never thought this would impact others the way that it did. Guys, who will know? It's just a robe. Nobody will miss this small amount of treasure. And Achan took the treasure. Guys, listen to this. He took it because it looked good. Here's Achan, a warrior. He's run up into the, remember we talked about how the walls created this bridge and just went right, sees this robe. And then that room ready to take out whoever's in there and destroy it. And he sees this robe. And then that leads him to taking the silver and taking the bar of gold. And guys, here's the thing is, look at it, read it here. It's coming up in Joshua 7:21. Now let me say this before it comes up. Is that he's now talking to Joshua. And the way that they found out it was him was that God said, I want you to get all the tribes of Israel together, and then I'm going to show you which tribe that this is happening in, and then you're going to narrow down, and I will show you. And so they do. They get down to the tribe of Judah, and then they start working through the families, and they finally get to Achan. And here's what Achan says. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deeper than the rest. Guys, doesn't that sound like another story in the Bible, like Adam and Eve? Something looking good? Look at this in Scripture, Genesis 3:6. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was what? It was a delight to the eyes. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, and she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave also some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. It just looked good. It just seemed right, that nobody would notice, and what could it hurt? It is so important to understand that the choices that we make, no matter how big or small, do have an impact on those who surround us. Remember, this isn't just about Achan and his family or Achan's decision. It's his sin, but it affected the entire nation. If you really pay attention to what we've read in Scripture today, it doesn't say that Achan did this. In fact, God had Joshua search until they found him. And what it said is that Israel has sinned. And in fact, in Joshua 7:1, it says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. You know, when a pastor or there's a molestation that takes place in the church, board member has a marital affair, or there's a molestation that takes place in the church, or a pastor gets caught with his hands in the money jar, you know, all this. What happens is it doesn't just affect the pastor. It really does affect the church. Some churches don't survive that type of stuff. They fracture or they split or they're just no more. In fact, you can be at a luncheon and somebody could ask you, say, oh, what church do you go to? And you tell them, oh, I go to so-and-so assembly. Oh, you go to that church. Y'all know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to move over to this table. You know what I mean? It's like it just sets up. You are all of a sudden attached to something that somebody else did. Okay, so sin. If you had a gambling addiction or a porn addiction, or if you're in the middle of a marital affair or drugs has crept in recreationally or whatever you want to call it, has come into your home, or alcohol is beginning to take more of a prominent place in your home, what happens is it always starts with this right here, any sin. Even when I think back when my life, and I'm not saying I don't sin anymore, I'm just saying that when I was thriving in my sin, it always started with the decision of me saying, I want this. And so what happens is once you do that, then you move to the second part where it says, I choose to do it again. So now I'm saying, I need this. And when you say, I need this, then you begin to justify it, okay? You know, you got young married couples that are bringing porn into their homes because, oh, they're doing it together and all this. So they're justifying this stuff. And what happens is they say, I deserve this. You could have a man or a woman who comes home and they drink and they do. They say, well, I just had a hard day, or I'm tired of arguing with my husband or whatever. And they say, I just deserve to do this. But then it leads to the big one. It's convincing yourself that you are in control, so you say, I can handle it, I can handle this. But the truth is, sorry, I want this, I need this, I deserve this, and I can handle this. But the truth is, it's not just hurting you, it's hurting those who surround you. People who have, like, say in your life. Achan's choice, his action mattered to God. And I am so thankful because of Jesus. Can I get an amen? That we live in a time that even now, that if I sin, that I can go direct. I don't have to wait a year to go and confess my sins to a priest, but that I can just pull over my car and ask Jesus to forgive me and to take control over my life. Amen? That my life matters to God. And I'm so thankful for his patience with me, and that everything about my day he cares about. I would just say this as I close up this point is this. Is that maybe we could say something like, God, help me with my choices today. You know, that every decision, every conversation that I get into, all my thoughts, Jesus, I give them to you. That it matters, guys. I want you to know this, that everything about you matters to God. And it leads to this second point. This is it. Is that true repentance is a gift from God. I don't know if you've ever heard it that way before, but this is scriptural. That true repentance is a gift from God. It's found in 2 Timothy, if you've never read this, chapter 2, verse 25. It says, then with meekness, you'll be able to carefully enlighten those who argue with you so they can see God's gracious gift of repentance and be brought to the truth. Other translations, it might say it this way, that he will grant them repentance, that he will give them repentance, that he would change their hearts, or that God might sober them up. Or how about in this one, in the good word, God's word translation, it says, allows that he allows them to change the way they think. Man, guys, that the Holy Spirit can actually just wake us up when we're in just a stupor and wake up and know immediately that something's not right and that I'm a... Joshua, he loses... So Joel, guys, okay, so remember, Joshua... He loses 36 men in the quarry, and he has now ripped his clothes. He's been laying before God. God has told him to get up and knock it off, and here it is. And check this out in Joel chapter 2, 12 and 13. He says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Guys, listen, this is another thing I'm thankful for, that when we sin, that we don't have to rip our clothes and throw dirt all over the top of our heads. But that I can just literally give him my heart, that I can ask him to heal my broken heart, that I give him everything about me. Joshua 7:13, he says, get up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things among you. If you didn't know this, to be consecrated and to repent flow hand in hand. That's why it was so important for God to tell them to go ahead and start this consecration thing, because tomorrow you're going to repent as a nation. But guys, let me define consecration to you. It is more than just going to church. It is more than keeping the Ten Commandments. It's more than repeating the sinner's prayer. It is more than volunteering to serve. It is more than raising your hands during worship. All of these, you guys, are good, but it is not being consecrated. When I think of consecration, what I love to use as a visual for me, when we read the stories of the tabernacle, when we read the stories of the temple, the priests would use these tools or these instruments that were used during worship inside in the holy place. And what it was is they believed they were consecrated to the Lord. Basically, that they were consecrated so they would be used in the service of God. They were set aside. Let me say it that way. That they were set aside for the service of God. And guys, here's the thing. The devoted things. So we've talked about the devoted things that were taken that should have been given to God from Joshua, where it's the silver, gold, the bronze, and the iron. But what about the devoted things in our lives? What should we be devoting to him? Again, how about your heart, your worship? Let me say them again. Your children, your bodies. And guys, and this is a tough one, your tithe is to be set aside for the service of the Lord. Kim Brinson, would you come on up here? Is she here? Kim, come on. Come on, girl. You got to be sitting on the front row. What are you doing to me? Come on, get down here. Y'all love Kim? Come on, give her a hand. She's coming up here. I want her to share something regarding the tithe.
Hi. I'm getting younger. I got fired August 6th, which was almost 3 months ago. And when I did that, my husband and I, Alan, talked about, should we continue our tithes or what should we do? And I'm like, and so we decided to just continue our tithes as if we were still getting the same amount of money I was making. And so we have two accounts. One is for like auto pay, you know, where your mortgage and your insurance and all that stuff goes off. And my money went in there and I never paid attention to it. And I had a cushion there for $2,000. It was my savings. And I just never paid attention to that. It just kind of came in, the money went in and it went out. So now the money's not going in. But we're still paying our tithes every month. And it's still the same balance in there. It's $2,000. It's been $2,600 in there, even with no money going in. It's paying our tithes. We're paying our tithes on money we don't have. And the money's just staying in there. It's been $2,600 for like 2 months. But I got up in the middle of the night last night, and I looked, and now it's like at $340, $3,000. So it's gone up since yesterday. So that's really cool. So.
All right. I mean, but we are going to be doing just a tithe because the pastors and I, they don't know this is coming, but we are going to be doing a series dealing with the tithe in the new year. But let me just say this, if you've heard anything from what Kim just said, it's keep your hands off what is God's. Don't mess with it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to bury it. Don't try to control it. Just be faithful to giving no matter what. Amen? It's an important thing to receive. Guys, consecration is you removing yourself from the throne and putting Jesus back where he's supposed to be. Let me say it this way. Some of us need to get off the throne and put Jesus where he is supposed to be. Come on, amen. It is surrendering yourself. It's giving you your all of you, to Jesus. But to be fully consecrated to God, we have to come to a place of repentance. True repentance. The beautiful gift of God. You know, last Sunday, you guys, just amazing, came up and brought your walls up here. And at the end of the service, I gathered them from both services, took them into my office. And then Sunday night before awakening, I got them all out. Looked through every one of them. Had my wife, she put her eyes on them. Then we took them in here to Awakening, and we passed them out to the people that were there, over 100 people, and we all prayed that God is going to bring down the walls in your lives, amen? And I want to tell you, first of all, as your pastor, I am so proud and thankful for you because you responded to something that I believe God is going to work amazing miracles in your life, amen? Praise the Lord. So Lori gets up, and she begins to give us kind of a little mini message dealing with soaking in the presence of the Lord. So what happens is that after she finishes, we all kind of find a place in here and to soak as the worship team was just singing beautifully for us. And so I was sitting right here, and God immediately says these words to me. He says, Matt, I need you to let me lead you more. In fact, he said it this way, desire, need to shoulder it. Or if it's going to be, as your pastor, as a leader, sometimes I feel like I need to shoulder it. Or if it's going to be, I want to do it this way. Or if it's going to be, you know, it's me. And God's saying, no. And what happened was that I was making God more of a personal assistant than the leader of my life. And I think for some of us, that's where we've got, we kind of like God being the personal assistant, but we don't really truly want him to lead us in our walk. And I had to repent. And it can easily be about me. It can be about my plans, and it has to be my way. Lucy, who's here, Lucy, wave for them so they can see her. She wrote me an email, and it was so amazing. She sent me something that she felt on awakening night and Sunday morning, and wanted to know if it resonated with my spirit. And I want to read this to you guys. Listen to this. She did not know what I was speaking about today. It's just God. She says, "When we went into a time of soaking, a strong spirit of grieving came over me. I also sensed this on Sunday morning during the service when people were bringing the cards to the altar. I was very much overwhelmed and asked the Lord, what does this mean? And this is what I sensed, that my children are carrying burdens they never were designed to carry, that sin has entered their hearts through ignorance or disobedience and complacency, and that the walls will come down when they come before me with a true heart of repentance." Joshua 7:13, remember, this is what the Lord says to him. He says, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have taken away the devoted things from among you. Acts 3:19 says it this way, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin and does not prosper, and you never will do well, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. In fact, in Joshua 7:21, look, and took them, and they are hidden in the ground. This is Achan telling him, I coveted them and took them, and they are hidden in the ground inside my tent. I am not perfect. No one in here should even put themselves into a place of being in pure perfection, but I want you to understand something. It might be time, and it might be a good thing that if we're going to take land together, we have to understand that before we move, we can't face our enemies until we have repented and dug up anything that has been buried under our tent and expose it and give it away. Give it away. Get it out and give it back. Give our lives back to God. Amen? Because we're not going to be able to do what God wants to do through us as a community if we're not in a full place of repentance and consecration. Matthew 3:8, you must prove your repentance by what? Come on, guys. If there's not a change, then something's not right. It's not matching up. True repentance truly is a gift from God. Can I get amen? Here's my third and final thought. God always makes good on his promises. Achan, the story of Achan, it's brutal, the judgment that came down on him. This is pre-Jesus, you know. So when God said this was going to happen, it's going to happen. And Joshua just kind of tells him after Achan confesses what he did, Joshua just goes, dude, God's coming down on you now. And they take him, his wife, his family, donkeys, anything that he had, anything that was with him. They even took the gold. They took the silver. They even put the robe. Guys, they even did this with the tent, but they burnt them all. Burn them all. You know, brought them to death by burning. Then it says that the entire nation, all of the Israelites, stoned them. 2 million, everybody say 2 million. 2 million men, women, and children cast a stone upon the bodies of Achan and his family. Guys, I've been there many times in Israel, and they believe that this is the Valley of Achor. That's there, that's been there for hundreds of years. It's beautiful. They've got this Gregorian monastery that's there, that's been there for hundreds of years. And when we were going there the first time, they told us about the story, and I had to go home and read it. But then as you go after the years, now you're just kind of going to see the monastery. But guys, something really, really unbelievable happened in this valley. And it was a place of judgment. And thank the Lord again that we will never be taken to a place like that and have a stone cast against us because of what Jesus did on the cross for each and every one of us. Amen? This is the Lord that we serve. Joshua 8:1. So as soon as Achan and this whole thing, all of the devoted things were taken care of, it says here in 8:1, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you, go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. As a nation, as a community, they repented, they removed what was hidden, and they were blessed with victory over Ai. And when it comes to the promises of God, what he is saying to his people, he has never needed one of us, any of us, to defend him. God doesn't need us to defend him. This is the God that we serve. He's amazing. He's powerful. But what he wants is that relationship with us. Amen? He wants our hearts given to him. He wants us to be devoted to him. If he says it, he's going to do it. Isaiah 55:11. Look at this. So shall my words be that goes forth from my mouth. This actually won't come up. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. 1 Corinthians 2:9, that's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who loved him. How about in the Passion Translation, that same scripture, things never discovered or heard of before. It's in store for all his lovers. Or as entered the heart, there are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. Or as those who love him. Amen? When he says it, it's going to happen. He always makes good on his promises. I want to bring this to a close. Have the worship team come up. Let's give our worship team a hand. What a great set this morning. It was amazing. So while they're coming up, you guys take a look at this. This is the devoted things. And guys, you can add what you want to it. I think all of us can sit here and realize that there's probably something in my life that I need to put better devotion toward God. And the thing is, guys, is this, is right here. When you're looking at our hearts or our worship or tithe or marriage, maybe it's even relationships, children, bodies, and days, the thing that you always have to remember is that these are things that should be devoted to God. Shouldn't even be debated. It should just be His. 1 Kings 8:61 says, let your heart, everybody say heart. Let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in His statutes and keeping His commandments as at this day. Guys, in the Hebrew, as at this day is yom. I want you to look at this. It's yom, which means yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it should still be the same, amen? That it would always and continually be this way. That at this day, that today, tomorrow, a year from now, that your heart is devoted to Him. That your tithe is devoted to Him. That your family is devoted to Him. That you have devoted your children to God. And that you've given your life to Him. That at yom, at this day, that it would be the same, that He would be my God. That no more burying things, you guys. We all know this, but yet we don't. We can't hide things from God. But it's that act, it's that decision to decide to bury it or to continue it. Say, I want this, I need this. Bring out what you've got there. Bring it out, bring it into my... And God's saying, no, let's don't do this anymore. Let's bring out what you've got there. Bring it out, bring it into my life. Bring it, set it at the feet of my Son, and let's make these things right. Let's be consecrated and let's have full repentance. So that we can move forward in what God wants. That the devoted things would be God's. And I am believing for unbelievable victories for Harvest Assembly. That the community, everything that we experience, we would do it as a body, feeling and experiencing and going through these victories together. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. We are in a project right now. Lori had me start reading this book called Crazy Faith. And I was getting into this book and I begin to realize that what God is doing is like we try to imagine what He's gonna do, but we can't imagine the good things and the great things that God is gonna do, the victories that we're going to experience. But if we're all doing it together, how more special will it be to see people coming to Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to see more baptisms happening in Harvest Assembly, to see the community growing, relationships, all races, all creeds coming together and loving the Lord, seeing healings, deliverances, people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, people going out. They're finally starting to open up borders that we can go out and do mission trips again, that we would build a church in Sumatra. I'm getting ahead of myself from today, but guys, listen. It's victories. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, I look at last week as such a major move of faith.